Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Ladies and gentlemen, today is the last, final, ultimate day of the KSFR Fall Fun Drive of 2009, and we are so happy that we are closing up. We have not quite met our goal, but we've done very well thanks to you, and we've got one more opportunity today for you to donate by calling 505-428-1393. 428-1393, a number that is probably at this point engraved on the inside of everybody's skull. Certainly mine. But in any case, if you haven't called yet, you may call. And of course, you can always pledge online in the days to come at ksfr.org. So, is there any report from the control room at this point?
Well, there are people out there, Mary Charlotte, on the phone lines right now, so I don't have any names to thank, but I know that we have many, many of our community members to thank in general for all their kind donations to the station. And I'm sure that many are listening and ready to call in during their favorite show, the Radio Cafe.
Well, I hope so. 428-1393 is the way that you do it. It's fun, it's easy, and we have a wonderful show lined up today with Polly Halstead. She's the author of the cookbook Cuisine for Whole Health, and she's joining us by phone. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning.
So this book is also available for anybody who makes a contribution to KSFR. You start off the book with a fascinating question, and the question is it our beliefs about food that make food good for us or not good for us? After years of inquiry about food and health, have you come to any answer about that question? In other words, some people believe that vegetarianism is very good for them, and some people believe that omnivorism is good for them. What do you think?
Personally, I think that's a question that each person has to answer on their own. And the way they do that is to see what their body feels like when it's eating the diet of their choice. Some people have gone into vegetarianism and veganism and found out that they have started to get symptoms and maybe thyroid problems and things like that, but don't know why these things are happening. So it's going to necessitate maybe a review of what our intake is. A lot of vegetarian and vegans eat a very high starch diet or grain-based diet, and they're finding out now that some of these grains are irritating to the system.
And we'll talk more about that in a moment. You have been working for decades as a chef, as a cook, as a caterer. What was the process by which you began the search that resulted in this book, Cuisine for Whole Health?
Well, I have been addicted to sugar for most of my life, and with the resulting variety of symptoms, inflammation, depression, off and on, things like that. And finally, this past winter, I decided to really get on top of eliminating sugar from my diet, and then found out I was hypoglycemic, so then I had to go a step further and eliminate starches too. Grains and potatoes and things like that, which easily convert to sugar. So I had to really eliminate those things, and it was difficult. It was a difficult transition process. It took about 3 months before I stopped really craving the carbohydrates. But there is a way to do it, and I have been successful.
Right. Right, which of course is what this book is all about. Besides the recipes, which we'll also talk about, but you spend many pages of the book talking about the whole question of what is healthy, what is dangerous, what is sustainable to the planet. One of the there's a list of foods that are dangerous, that are not good for you. And speaking of sugar, you included both high fructose corn syrup, which probably most of our listeners are aware of in a lot of the questions about corn and corn syrup, but you also include natural sugars like honey and maple syrup and agave and so on. Are natural sugars as dangerous as high fructose corn syrup?
Probably not as dangerous as high fructose corn syrup, but in the United States, we're so acclimated to having everything taste sweet that by the end of the day, even if we're eating honey or, you know, natural fruit sugars or agave or whatever, it all adds up to too much sugar for the body to process. And if you're hypoglycemic, if you're pre-diabetic or even have diabetes, you are really going to have to watch all the sugar intake. And many people now have those issues or have obesity issues. So getting your total sugar intake down to almost zero is going to be necessary.
If you have some of those health problems, sugar, blood sugar problems.
Yes.
So another thing that is important, the cookbook has a section on go into your kitchen, here's what to throw away. And one of them is basically any food that comes in a box, any packaged and processed foods. What are the reasons for this?
Well, we're all trying to save money for these days, and most of those foods are pretty expensive given the fact that they deliver almost no nutrition at all. Basically, food manufacturers are in the business of making money. So they take cheap foods, add fillers, flavors, and all that stuff, and sell it for profit. And you're not getting the nutrient-dense foods that you need out of those food products. Plus, all that packaging is a huge problem for the environment. It is so wasteful.
We're talking to Polly Halstead. Once again, the book is called Cuisine for Whole Health, and it's available at the KSFR Fund Drive, which is in its last day, ladies and gentlemen, 428-1393. Another set of questions revolves around salt. The body needs salt to function. How do you know how much salt is enough salt or too much salt in your diet?
Well, some people do have salt issues, and I think a doctor would be better able to answer that. I tend to undersalt my food, but I do use really good sea salt that has the mineral content in it. And it, a lot of table salts are bleached, and they might have other toxins in them. So it's best to get your salt from these ancient lake beds that have not been exposed to modern-day toxins. So I think the quality of your salt matters.
And what about protein and meat? That is a very large part of what we think about when we think about the diet for those who are meat eaters and those who aren't. Protein is still a very much of an issue. What kinds of meat, first of all, are the most and the least healthy?
Well, I totally advocate grass-fed meats as opposed to grain-raised meats. The natural grasses are what cows are used to. They're genetically predisposed to eating grass and not grains. When they eat grains, it causes their intestines to become inflamed. That's why they give them antibiotics and hormones and all that stuff, because at the end of the day, by the time they're slaughtered, they're really pretty ill. But when the cows eat grass, all the vitamins and minerals go into the meat and milk, and therefore when we eat those meats, we get the natural vitamins and minerals as well. Plus, they retain the omega-3 fatty acids, which our diets are really deficient in these days, and the other amino acids like L-tryptophan. Those are eliminated when the cows eat grains.
That's such an interesting and such an important thing. It also means that, well, does it mean that the cows are out there getting more exercise if they're grass-fed as opposed to grain-fed?
Well, I don't know about exercise, but if you've ever seen a gigantic feedlot of commercially raised cows, they are standing around in their own excrement. And this is why people actually are getting E. coli, because when the meat is processed, sometimes, all that stuff that they've been standing around in gets in with the meat. Whereas when cows are out in a grass-fed grass field, they can move around, and if done correctly, the farmer moves them from field to field every day, so they're not standing around in all of their own waste.
Now, is there a similar set of issues around poultry?
Absolutely. Commercially raised poultry, they're all packed into these giant pens. They can't even move. It is really our way of commercially raising animals has got to stop. It's really torture of these animals. So they can't move, and they're standing around in their own waste.
428-1393 is the fund drive number. Once again, we're in the last day of the fall KSFR fund drive. This book, Cuisine for Whole Health, can be yours for a low contribution to KSFR.
And Mary Charlotte,
yes.
Mary Lynn here. We've had, those anonymous people calling.
Ah, yes.
This book sounds like such a wonderful treasure in terms of what one can learn about diet. Recently I've had a major health issue, and I've gone to a whole new level of paying attention to what I eat. And when I heard Polly talk about getting rid of packaged foods, and I could so identify with it. And so I'm really excited to see this book, because it's where I am at in terms of what I eat on a regular basis now.
Oh, that's so good to hear.
Yeah, and for such a bargain, for a contribution of $35, this book can be yours out there, those of you listening. And so I'd grab it. I'm going to grab it.
Great. Thank you. Yes, we can heal ourselves by changing our diet. We can heal ourselves. We don't have to depend on the doctor.
428-1393. Yeah, I think we have a farmer's market in Santa Fe. And,
oh, it's fabulous. And the book has photos from the Santa Fe farmer's market.
Oh, right. Well, so, there is obviously some amount of protein that is optimal. Is it important that it be animal protein? I mean, a lot of people do survive on a vegetarian diet. For those who want to do that, how can they really get their protein?
Well, it all depends on how much, vegans would have the most difficult time. But if a vegetarian can eat eggs and cheese and milk, plus nuts and seeds, then they can combine those things. Actually, we tend to overeat protein in the United States. We only need 45 to 55 grams of protein all day. And in the book, I give a list of what amount of grams of protein is, for instance, in an egg or nuts or whatever, so people can add up their daily protein intake by looking at that chart, and then kind of dividing it into three or five meals a day. But it's really a lot less than what people think, the amount of protein we need to replace our cells.
I have to say, I was in Indonesia earlier this year, and the diet there, at least that I ate, consisted of a lot of things like fried rice and fried noodles with a little bit of meat in it, and just fruit and things like that for breakfast, and I can't remember when I've ever felt better. So it was amazing how little meat you could survive on and feel healthy and energetic.
That's right. That's going to be a big savings when people realize that, because we spend a lot of money on meat and fish. That's our biggest, expenditure when it comes to food, is the protein.
So what about grains? You advocate a diet that has little or no grain consumption at all, like wheat and barley and so on. Why is that?
Well, people don't realize it, but a lot of people are allergic to gluten, so and it's causing a lot of problems, like maybe autism, ADHD, because people are allergic to it. A large percentage of the population is allergic to gluten, and they don't even know it. The other thing is we are not genetically predisposed to eat grains, and many people have grain allergies that they're not used to. Just like when the cows eat the grains and it irritates their intestines, and in many cases, this is what's happening with us, and it's causing a lot of problems and inflammation in our intestines. And the resulting toxins from that go through the blood-brain barrier and cause, you know, depression and all kinds of issues in the brain. A good book to read is The Ultramind Solution by Dr. Mark Hyman, because he really spells out exactly how these things are affecting our brains.
Now, how do you factor in cultural differences? You know, my European ancestors have long been eating bread and cheese, thousands of years, whereas somebody from a native of New Mexico who's been here for 10,000 years has been surviving on corn and squash and beans. How do you, when you think about diet, what role does that cultural background play?
Well, actually, grain consumption in Europe has only been prevalent for a couple of thousand years, not very long when you think about the entire history of the human race. And so most Europeans prior to that were hunting, fishing, and foraging. And as far as the new Americans, Americas go, I think grain cultivation or corn cultivation was pretty similar. It's only recently in our entire global history that people have cultivated grains.
Let's talk about organic versus so-called conventional farming. I always find it odd that they call it conventional farming, but you have a great description of the difference between how organic and conventional tomatoes are grown. Can you describe each one for us?
Well, the biggest problem we face globally, and especially here in the United States, is that our conventional farming practices have ruined our soils, depleted our soils of essential nutrients, which are not replaced in the conventional farming methods. So we have to get back to organic farming, where the nutrients are replaced in our soils. Essentially, we are starving ourselves slowly because of the lack of nutrients in conventional foods. They just aren't there.
So what does that actually look like? Like when you grow a tomato in an organic farm versus when you actually grow it, you know, starting with the soil and the whole process of growing?
Okay, well, in organic farming, normally all the vegetables, they're mixed together, as opposed to the monoculture that we're used to. So all the vegetables work together synergistically. You know, if you can imagine that. We use natural fertilizers from chickens and other ingredients to kind of mix in with the soil. So the soils are being replenished. Also, you know, like interim cover crops that replace nutrients, like fava beans, that are then plowed back into the soil. So you're always composting and adding nutrients to the soil, natural nutrients back into the soil.
Whereas in a so-called conventional farm, you have monocrops and a whole different kind of fertilizer.
Yeah, you're dumping chemicals, basically chemical fertilizers, that a lot of them are oil-based derivatives, onto the soil, plus a lot of really toxic insecticides, because when you have monoculture, normally, you get a lot of pests, whereas if you mix all the varieties of vegetables together, the pests get confused, so they don't tend to, attack the plants as much. Plus, there's other things like ladybugs and other butterflies that will eat the pests, too. So there are natural ways to get rid of pests that are organic farmers use.
We're talking to Polly Halstead. She's the author of the cookbook Cuisine for Whole Health. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, this book can be yours for a contribution to KSFR. Call 428-1393, 428-1393. It's the last day of our fund drive, and we want to just let the phones ring off the hook and help us finish at pretty close to our goal, if not at it, because we want to go back to our regular programming. Mary Lynn, do we have any thanks from the control room?
We do indeed. Joella Foreman, thank you, Joella.
Thank you.
And Carol Wheeler, who has contributed quite a bit during this fund drive.
Thank you. She listens
to you, Mary Charlotte, every day to keep up on the news.
Thank you so much.
Happening. And Roberto Capocci.
Capocci.
Capocci? You know Roberto?
I do indeed.
Oh, okay. He moved recently to Santa Fe, and he thinks KSFR reflects the values of his new home, which he loves. And we have Linda here, Linda Highhill, joining us here.
Linda, welcome.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte. How are you?
Good, and you?
Hi, Polly. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, Mary Charlotte, I would like to say thanks to some people who pledged on our website.
Oh, excellent. Go ahead.
Carrie Lynn, Richard,
Yay.
Donna, George, Karen, Barbara, Tamara, Carl, Edwina, Julia, James, Michael, Jason, and Bronwyn.
Good heavens.
All of them donated using our website. Another fascinating way to do it.
KSFR.org. If you were too shy to make a phone call or too busy or too in the office to go be making a phone call to 428-1393, then the website is a way to do it. KSFR.org. A collective gigantic yay.
Yay.
And thanks to all of you who've donated, and to those few or many out there who have not quite yet done it, go ahead. And I would like to say on taking from what Roberto said when he called, is if you have moved to Santa Fe recently or not that recently, and this and your new home here has welcomed you, we welcome you too and ask you to help make this town that has taken you in an even better place by keeping this radio station vibrant. The radio station is an essential part of the community. It's the lifeblood of the community that, to use the culinary metaphor, really extends the nutrients, the news, the information, the entertainment, the music to all parts of our city. Our airwaves are like the capillaries. I don't want to go too far with this, but bringing all this good stuff to the people, and it really is nourishing radio. 428-1393 is the way that you call and make a contribution, and thanks to all of you who have already called and pledged online and pledged by check in the mail. We really are very, very grateful to you. Polly Halstead's book is called Cuisine for Whole Health. And we've been talking about organic and inorganic, so to speak, farming. Here's another thing. Again, this whole process that you went through in finding out what's good for you and what isn't. Two people can respond so differently to the same food. If I, for example, drink or eat anything that has spirulina in it, that's called a superfood, a healthy green food. Everybody loves it. Everybody gets energized by it. I get clinical depression if I eat so much as a half a spoon of it. How do you recommend determining what works best for each person?
Well, if, if you are symptomatic, and a lot of times we don't associate symptoms like depression or other things with what we've been eating, sometimes those symptoms come up a few days later, so we don't get the association. If you are experiencing symptoms, one of the best things you can do is work with a board-certified nutritionist. They will do your blood work. They'll find out what you're allergic to. You really need to take an in-depth look at your own body chemistry, and that can only be done through urinalysis, blood testing, and then having an expert look at all those ranges for you and come up with a specific plan for you, because you have to really eliminate what you might be allergic to. You have to find that out.
In what ways are children more vulnerable than adults to a poor diet?
Well, children's brains are under development, you know, all through childhood, probably up until their early 20s. And during that time of brain development, it is critical that we keep sugars, especially refined foods and toxins, out of their diet. There are so many toxic substances in processed foods that go through the blood-brain barrier, and this is why kids are getting autism these days and ADHD. It is in our diet, and that's why I'm just raising the flag and waving it, you know, that people really clean up their kitchens at home as far as the food that they choose to have in the home that the children will be eating. It's really important that we do this.
We're talking to Polly Halstead. The book is called Cuisine for Whole Health, and the subtitle is Recipes for a Sustainable Life. Talk about the sustainable aspect of it. I guess it's both for the individual and for the larger community.
Well, this is what I have found in changing my diet, and that is the good fats that are in grass-fed butter, cream that comes from grass-fed cows, the grass-fed meats and poultry. Those the good fats are what sustain us and make us feel satisfied. We're so afraid of fat in our culture. It's gotten a really bad rap. But it's the good fats that our bodies need. It's actually the good animal fats that deliver the vitamins and minerals to our cells and balance our whole hormone system. So it's important to have the good fats, and especially for children, too. They need the good fats for brain development.
So let's get to another issue that I think that's very important, which is it more or less expensive to eat this way? In other words, when you talk about organic farming and grass-fed beef, and I do comparative price shopping at the various natural food stores and supermarkets, and sometimes the natural and organic foods cost more, some of them astronomically more.
Right. That's why in my book I recommend that people go to the farmer's market. You can get organic vegetables, salad stuff at Trader Joe's. Costco now is carrying, organic salad mix and wild-caught fish. They also have big bags of organic quinoa from South America. So you have to do your shopping really well. I give a lot of resources in my book. But the main thing is processed foods are the most expensive thing we could possibly buy, because we're not getting our money's worth from those foods. So it's actually a waste. Also, when you cut back from eating, like, you know, an 8-ounce steak to eating, like, 3 or 4 ounces at a meal, you're actually cutting your expensive protein thing in half. So, You have to shop effectively, and you will be cutting down on using the expensive protein source.
Now, you're based in California. You've got a thriving farmers market system out near where you live?
Oh, everywhere. Right now, I'm in the Bay Area. It seems like almost each town has farmers market. When I was up in the Napa Valley, there was one in St. Helena, Napa, over in Sonoma. Yeah, they're everywhere. Yes, and they're so much fun to go to. That's the thing.
Right. Yeah, they are community places as
they
well.
They are. It's a way to connect with community and directly connect with the people who are ethically growing and raising our food. I mean, you can meet them face to face. It's wonderful.
We're talking to Polly Halstead. The book is called Cuisine for Whole Health. And once again, I think we've got some thank yous coming from the control room. Do we?
Yes, indeed. We have Suzanne St. Clair.
Thank you.
And, of course, you know these people, Mary Charlotte. Barbara and Ted Flicker.
Yay!
Yes.
They're wonderful people.
And
I have to say, because I always say whenever I hear Ted Flicker's name, he made one of my top five favorite movies of all time called The President's Analyst, and he lives in Santa Fe and is a wonderful person.
Oh, great.
And they both are. Go ahead.
Well, and then there's the mice, you know, the anonymice.
Yes.
So thanks.
Thanks to all of our anonymous donors. Once again, 428-1393, 428-1393 is the number in the 505 area code. If you are out of area and you don't want to make the long distance call, it is 866-907-5737. That's 806-907-KSFR. Polly Halstead's book is called Cuisine for Whole Health. What changes have you noticed in your own life since you came to all of the insights that you have described and just the knowledge that you described in this book?
Well, it wasn't until April of this year. I had cut back on my sugar intake and stuff like that, but when I found out I was still hypoglycemic after cutting back, I decided to really rigorously eliminate most carbohydrates, like starchy vegetables and stuff like that. And I upped my good fat intake. It was upping my good fat intake, actually, that made it possible for me to get off the carbohydrates because they are so satisfying. It took about 3 months before I stopped craving carbohydrates. But the biggest effect, and one that I hadn't suspected, was the profound effect it had on my nervous system. It calmed me down. Fats are calming. And this was a real plus that I hadn't expected. But it's been a wonderful thing to just feel calm.
Yes, indeed. What were the good fats that you started eating?
I started eating more grass-fed butter. When I have chicken, I leave the skin on. You know, if I have a lamb chop, I'll eat some of the fat with it. Eggs, I eat eggs, maybe a couple of eggs a day, you know, with the yolk, cooked in either some butter or coconut oil. I have a lot of coconut oil in my diet and maybe eat 2 or 3 tablespoons of virgin coconut oil a day in something, you know, that I cook with. So, it's the really good fats that help. And in my book, I explain which ones those are.
We're talking to Polly Halstead. So after all that, I was thinking, okay, there's so much that we have to eliminate from our diet, and there are so many kinds of food that we have to be aware of, and packaged food is out, and a lot of carbohydrates are out, and grains are out, and what kind of recipes are we going to have here? But you have some very tasty-looking recipes in the book with
that's the thing.
Plenty of cheese and eggs and butter and herbs and spices and so on. So tell us about some of your favorite recipes.
Wow. That would probably take another hour, but I like my food to stay interesting. I like Asian food. I like all those flavors. So I wanted to create a cookbook for foodies that kept the interest there, but also the health aspects. All those recipes are my favorite ones, but that's really tough. But just the roasted chicken, the whole roasted chicken with the roasted vegetables, it's really just heartwarming to have, you know, a roasted chicken every week with all those vegetables. And then you can take the chicken bones and make a really rich broth that then you can use to make your Thai soup with. But then you have all the richness of the fats and all those wonderful flavors in there.
What are some good autumn foods? Do you eat seasonally? Is that part of it? I guess it must be if you're working with the farmers market.
Yeah, in the autumn, you have all the wonderful squashes. You have late summer melon. You know, of course, the meat, the grass-fed meat and the well-caught fish and the eggs are available all the time. Yeah. You know, and they raise all the organic lettuces still. Those are pretty much available year-round in California, too. So you still have all those available, fall apples.
And I noticed that you have recipes even for things like chicken livers.
Yeah, a primitive man would eat all the organ meats first. That was the most prized part of the animal because it was so nutrient dense and fatty. So they would eat, you know, the bone marrow, the liver, the brains, all of those things because they had such a high fat content and retained all the nutrients that the animal had been eating.
That's the so-called Paleolithic diet that you're referring to, is that right?
Yes.
Now, I've always wondered with this. Paleolithic humans had a life expectancy of maybe 30 to 40 years.
And people think that, but actually the real truth is they lived as long as we do now.
I actually did a bunch of research on that. I did not find any evidence that points to that.
Really? Well, I think maybe different people are saying different things, but maybe they were taking into account infant mortality and checking it out. But if people survived their infancy during that time, they did live to be, you know, as old as we live.
Search on the internet and of the anthropological sources said something different. In other words, if they'd survived adolescence, they could live to be as long as maybe late 30s and at the very outside early 50s. And the other thing about Paleolithic folks is that they got huge amounts of exercise, which also must be a factor in health and in, you know, the health of any group of people.
Well, they were extremely physically fit. And the other thing that they had to their advantage, they were living in a totally non-toxic environment. You know, they didn't have to contend with mercury floating in the air and all these wastes that are in our soils and streams now. You know, I mean, can you imagine what that was like?
just large carnivores and other predators and things like that. 428-1393 is the number. 428-1393 is the number at which you can get the book Cuisine for Whole Health by Polly Halstead, who's been kind enough to spend this hour with us. Anything from the control room?
Oh, lots from the control room. We have Richard Fowler to thank.
Thank you.
He also commented that he'd like to hear more classical. I don't think he's talking about your show, but, you know, unless you wanted to talk about the classics, which you could do.
Classical music?
I imagine, or classical anything. Okay, we have Roderick Keller, who loves jazz, too, and Marianne Folks. Thanks.
Thank you all so much. Keep those telephones ringing, 428-1393, and this...
And much more.
428-1393. Much more, and this book, Cuisine for Whole Health, fabulous recipes. I can't wait to try them. What do you recommend for people, well, people like me, who don't have a lot of time for cooking? Are there quick recipes in here, or is this what you would call more that for people who really have the time to dedicate to cooking?
I deliberately kept the recipes available for people who don't have a lot of time or don't have a lot of cooking expertise either. I kept the recipes simple, so they are, good for almost anybody. It's quality of ingredients that is primary with the book.
So, Polly Halstead, do you think you will be coming out to Santa Fe at any point?
I have a house in Santa Fe. I absolutely will be coming out.
Well, good. We look forward to seeing you at the Farmers Market in Santa Fe, and we want to thank you so much for being with us here on KSFR.
I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Once again, the book is called Cuisine for Whole Health by Polly Halstead, and it can be yours for a contribution to KSFR. So we're going to now turn to the good folks who are in the control room and in the studio and just talk a little bit more about KSFR and our fall fun drive. It's been probably a little bit of a slower drive than we've had in the past, perhaps because of the economy, perhaps because people are struggling, perhaps because people are just busy, but... Once again, we're making it easy for you. You can get this cookbook and you can get any of many wonderful items that we have. It's not about getting stuff. There are many people who are so happy to call and they know that this cookbook is going to come to them in the mail, or they know that something else is going to come to them. And that's great, and we are delighted, and that's still not what it's about. What is it about? It's about KSFR itself. It's about public radio. It's about keeping this venue and these airwaves open.
And you know, Mary Charlotte, Dory, who just moved here, commented that she needs the energy of KSFR. That's what it's about.
That's right. The energy of KSFR is what is sustaining. There is something extremely important about local radio, about having the airwaves filled with news and information about what is going on around you. It is highly disconcerting, and I've been to places where, you know, if you're traveling through, you're on a road trip, and you tune in to the radio, and basically all you get is canned country stations that are basically made in Nashville. You get canned Christian stations that come from I'm not sure where. You get basically national programming and nothing local. It's very hard to find out where anything is in the town that you are at, what is happening anywhere in the town you're at, and that has been an effect of media consolidation that has reasons that are far too long and complex to describe here in the next couple of minutes. Nevertheless, it is a problem, and it is a problem that stations like KSFR are valiantly trying to solve continually, month after month, year after year, by the kind of programming we're doing, by the kind of work we're doing. We ask you to support it because that's what listener-supported radio is about. We ask you to support it because it's doing something good for you, and we want to make sure that you just do that little good thing for us from time to time as well. 428-1393. We've had a wonderful response today. I've had a wonderful response throughout the whole fun drive, and I'm so happy that that listeners call. I have had this situation, and I've mentioned this once before, I think, during this drive, where people have come up to me during the whole year and said, "Oh, Mary Charlotte, I listen to your show every day. I love what you're doing," you know, et cetera, et cetera. To those people, if you have not given yet, this is the time. This is the last day. I want to hear your name read on the air. I want to hear what you have to say. I would love your response to this show, to this station, 428-1393. Linda Highhill.
Mary Charlotte.
How's it going?
You know, it's going really well. We have three people busy in the fun room.
Excellent.
In the phone room, I should say. And we've been walking down memory lane with some of your favorite interviews, and I've offered up packages of books for people. And can I state a few of those right now?
Yes, please.
Okay. I have a packet of three books here for your young people. And think about the holidays coming up. We have The Voyage of the Beetle, The Journey Around the World with Charles Darwin. Remember when you did that interview?
That was great. That was, I think, the last fun driver, the one before.
Yeah, and along with that, we have Jack London's Dog by Dirk Wales.
Nice, great book.
And Penny House by Dirk Wales. Those three premiums can be yours for your contribution of $35.
Oh, my goodness. That's a giveaway.
I know. And you know what else I have? Can I mention one more, Mary Charlotte?
Yes.
Okay. We have the book by Mark Rudd, Underground, My Life with SDS and the Weathermen. Remember
Excellent.
When you did that interview?
Of course. Yes, indeed.
We have the John Adams three-disc epic seven-part miniseries DVDs. And along with that, Michael Moore, Slacker Uprising. Remember when you talked about all of those? Those were all great interviews.
Yeah, everyone except the Michael Moore wasn't mine, but all
No, it really wasn't anybody's. We just did that out of the graciousness of our hearts.
Okay.
But the other two, I remember when you interviewed those people,
right.
And they were just fabulous interviews. All three of those can be yours for a donation of $40 with our gratitude.
You are giving away.
I'm cleaning the closet.
You're cleaning the closet,
I
Linda
am.
High Hill. 428-1393. I can't believe we have some of these even left.
You know what? They're just one-offs.
Oh, okay.
That's why we don't have a lot. May I mention one more?
Yeah.
Quickly. Okay. Terry Tempest Williams.
Oh, my goodness.
Finding Beauty in a Broken World.
I have to say, that is one of my favorite books.
You bet. It is wonderful.
That I've read since I've been doing this program.
And along with that, we have Robin Rahm's The Mother Garden, the short stories. Remember when you did the
Excellent.
Women authors?
Right, right.
Right. Both of those were fabulous interviews, and both of those books may be yours or gifts that you give for a contribution of $35.
And I have to say, the Dirk Wales books are great for young people.
Yes, yes, the young people in your lives. We have two sets of those.
Okay.
That's it. Robbie's here.
428-1393 is the number. We've just got a couple of minutes left before we go. So this is your last chance, KSFR Fun Drive. Of course, you can give any time of year. If the spirit moves you, you can always go to KSFR.org, and we make it possible for you to make a pledge any time of the year, day or night, 24/7, 365. Robbie, welcome.
Hey. Mary Charlotte, you're one of our stars, and we actually have been using you.
Can you turn on his microphone? 428-1393.
Yeah, we have.
Sorry, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you.
You're the star. And we've been pushing you since early this morning, and we've been so successful.
You've been pushing me? That sounds like I am an illegal street drug.
No. Not at all.
You are addictive.
You are addictive, and your audience loves you, and we're so happy the great response we've had this last day of the fun drive. So please call 866-907-5737.
I have seven people here to thank, and I know there's more, actually, because they're still on the phones. Catherine Goldsna, who loves Mary Charlotte Show and Diego's, and Margie Lane.
Thank you.
Kitty Franzetti, listening from Taos.
Oh, wonderful.
Natalie Gober, Richard Fallard must have called back again. Leslie Alderwick, and Jean Harrison.
Thank you all so much. The phone is ringing off the hook.
And I just got a message, too. I sent someone in the closet where I'm retrieving all of these collections of things to offer, and they passed me a note that says, we have just located one of the Dead Sea Scrolls in the KSFR closet, so I must dash off to see if it's authentic. Mary Charlotte, thanks for everything. Thank you, all of our wonderful listeners. Please make your pledge at 428-1393.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Now, is the Dead Sea Scroll going to be available for a contribution of $35?
Or something like that.
Or $35 million.
$35
million. 428-1393 is the number. And thank you, Robbie Dobbins, board member, Linda Highhill, interim general manager of KSFR. 428-1393 is the number. And thank you, Marilyn LeBlanc, for the terrific job that you are doing and that you always do. You are a great audio engineer and a great colleague. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
So you've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe and get lots of Facebook friend requests, and it's great to communicate with people that way as well. I am going to still be making chocolate chip cookies for people who donated, and I will let you know more about that on Facebook and on this show. I think it's going to be Friday, but I will let you know. Thanks once again to Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, the Colors of Jazz. Today, the last day of the KSFR Fall Fun Drive 2009, 428-1393 is the number, 428-1393, and lots of special deals for you if you call now, but above all, the special deal is KSFR itself. Thank you for being there. Thank you for supporting us. Hasta la vista, baby. Ciao.